So coming up on July 29th is a unique theater experience called Playing with Fear. This multimedia experimental ensemble performance exposes the real stories of a diverse group of Bay Area women who collaborated for over 3 months facing, understanding, and playing with their fears. Playing with Fear is produced by Siren Theater Project and directed by Roque Noir, who joins me now in studio. Roque, Playing with Fear is your creation, and you write that you've been envisioning this initiative for years. Why were you so interested in women and fear?
I think I'm very much rooted in my ancestry and lineage. I'm originally from India, and I spent half of my life back home in India, in Bengal, Calcutta, and the other half here. But fear in general and mental illness, mental health in particular, amongst generations of women in my family, in my community, in India especially, has really deeply impacted my life. And it's been a work that I have been doing within myself for years. And it's just time to come out with it.
You know, I noticed that you, in the description online, you use the terms mental health and mental illness a number of times. What is the connection that you see between fear and mental illness?
I believe, because of my personal experience, that a lot of mental health, specifically fear-based mental illnesses, they are not visible, they're not spoken about, and a lot of times they impact not just the people living with that kind of mental health issues, but people around them. Now, the reason I brought out fear and not just directly go to mental health was because working through this, I realized that the core of many of these mental health problems lies basically in fear. And I didn't want to separate people out, like, okay, you guys are labeled and you're mentally ill because they found a code in the Western medicine book that there's something wrong with you, as opposed to many of us who live with day-to-day fears. And I wanted to make the whole range of disturbances and, you know, thoughts that hold us back, things that don't allow us to be who we are, whether it's a little bit of anxiety, fear of spiders, or fear of, you know, laying in bed when it's dark, or whether it's OCD. Or whether it's, you know, really deep depression. When I really have worked with therapy and worked with my mother especially, because she's one big person in this journey for me, where I have gone to always has been some kind of fear. You know, my father's panic attacks and anxiety, it's rooted in some kind of fear. My mother's obsession and compulsion, it's rooted in some kind of fear. So I want to, almost like homeopathy, you know, I want to look at the roots as opposed to what's, how it's being shown or labeled in this world. And also it's easier in some ways to talk to people about their darkest places when you make it generic, like, okay, what are you afraid of? As opposed to saying, oh, what kind of mental illness do you have? So that's kind of the summary of why I started with this. But the project actually will go deeper and deeper into many of serious, you know, fear-based mental health issues. But that's the second phase. I wanted to start with just playing with fear initially to get into the community and work with the community as to, like, what are the fears you work with? You know, what lurks behind your bed, behind your closet? What wakes you up in the middle of the night? What makes you not you?
And what are your fears?
Oh, I can go on. You know, I think my primary fear is going mad, because I've seen my mother. She had a really hard time starting from like my age, 12, till now, a journey she has taken. When in India, mental health is such a taboo. It's just blocked. It's locked behind doors. She had been thrown in mental institutions, and I still have a cousin who is just locked in a room, and I can hear her cry. So I grew up being afraid that, oh my God, I'm going to turn mad just like my mother, okay? And it feels like many of the issues I have now, or I have been having, I would say for the last 15 years after I moved to this country, I don't even know whether they're real issues, or am I just afraid of being afraid, you know? So definitely going mad. I have some OCD, you know, stuff in me from genes or being afraid of my genes. I don't know. And then I have these strange fears of stopping physical, natural movements. Like I wake up and I would think that I can't walk anymore, or I can't speak anymore, or I won't be able to open my eyes anymore. So you see how, like, it's almost like mind games for me. Maybe because my imagination is so strong and my mind is so powerful in its vision and its thoughts. It's the same thing that makes me who I am, an incredible creative person. The same things play in a different way, a game where it's like freaks me out and makes me afraid of things. So when I say this project, I say it's basically unleashing my angels on my demons, because I feel the same things that makes me wonderful and magical and, you know, a beautiful spirit, as people say, are the same elements and attributes that really play games in my head and makes me afraid, makes me fearful.
So how did you bring together the group of women that are going to be performing on the 29th?
I essentially believe in sending out intentions and people coming to me. So I did not go out and invite individuals. I sent out siren calls to the community. I'm really blessed with a huge community, especially women and queer women community in the Bay Area. And I said, this is my journey. I would like to make this journey with you. And if you have fears that stops you, limits you in your life, and want to express that through art, through creativity, through poetry, through theater, through spoken word, through painting, through films, whatever your creative expressions are, let's just play with it. Let's play with fear, because fear is very alone. It doesn't like company. So when you bring a group of people together and say, okay, this is a safe place, you're allowed to be who you are, you have no idea what people come out with. And I got a huge response. In like 2 weeks, I got almost 45 women responded and say, we want to be part of it. And I had to interview everyone, because I was trying to build a group which was safe for people. And because I'm also a life coach, you know, I have a lot of experience in group coaching and facilitating groups. So I interviewed people and I created two groups, one mostly focused on writing, another focused on performing and other kinds of arts. And we met twice a week for 3 hours over, you know, 2 months. And we created. I came up with prompts. We came up with ideas as to storytelling, you know, prompts like, what makes you angry? What makes you scared? What triggers you? You know, if you could build a world without fear, what would that world look like? What's your inheritance of fear? Where does it come from? How do you heal? How do you pacify yourself when you are afraid? What do you need from this world? Like, there's so many different kinds of healings. Do you use all of them? Do you use creativity? Do you use beauty? Do you use magic? Or do you just stick to Western ways of medication and counseling? So ways to heal somatically, ways to heal from alternative ways, ways to heal even from just hanging out with friends and cooking, ways to heal from painting, from any kind of beautiful expression that makes you happy. And then we also talked about how do you really play with it? You know, fear is not something that goes away. If the more you push fear away, the more it's going to grow and be this big white elephant in the room. But how do you say, okay, you're here, I'm here. Let's walk it out. So those are the things that you will get answers to when you come to the show.
Is this then a work in progress, or is it really a finished theater piece?
Very good question. This is a finished theater piece in the sense that what I said is the first 3 months we will work with this 30 women, and their creations have led to the piece that we are presenting on July 29th. In terms of whether it's a finished piece or not, this piece is finished, but the project is not finished. This is one of the pieces of the project, because how it goes on is I'm doing a documentary on women, not just in the Bay Area, but internationally. It will be a documentary of some audio and some visuals on stories of other women around the globe. And then I'm also working on a book that I'm asking for people to submit their stories around their fear, around things that stops them. And then I'm also working on another kind of a circus of fear for September production, end of September. So all these pieces are kind of going to lead into the overall, you know, playing with fear project. But this is one-time show, because this is not about, you know, selling tickets and having a big show. This is more about sharing a very deep, raw personal stories. And we wanted to just do it once with just the community.
So tell us a little more about what we'll see on the 29th. See, hear, experience.
Right. What you will see, it will be an afternoon time between 3 and 5. And you'll be taken through a journey of 15 women initially dealing with their personal fears. So if you can think of a rear window or an apartment building with these 15 women who live, and if you can take a snapshot of their lives, you know, someone is coming back after work and getting ready to get into the bath. Someone is just sleeping and waking up with the alarm clock. So these moments of their lives, and you hear them and you feel them through pieces that they're going to either say or dance or perform. I don't want to say much, but it's basically you're going to hear their personal experiences, relationships with fear, but through beautiful poetry and prose and storytelling and dancing and movement pieces. And then at some point, it's going to be a threshold of starting to dance with it as opposed to just being afraid about it. And at that point, basically, all the people are going to be able to see each other. So it's like a group collaborative work of, okay, let's play together. And then we start about talking about healing. We start talking about what helps and what doesn't help. We start talking about if we were to build a world without fear, how would it look like? You will see dances, you will see performances, you will hear poetries and stories, you will see videos of people's fears, video diaries. It's a vignette, you know, it's like multiple stories but threaded together into a single journey of playing with fear.
So you identify as a queer woman from India who now lives in the Bay Area, and you've chosen to work with all of your different communities around fear. Do you see fear differently expressed and differently experienced by women from different cultural communities?
Yes and no. I think it's very, very, in some ways, it's fascinating how different cultures have their different roots of fears. And also how they express it, you know, how it's experienced within the families, how it's experienced with people outside, because this group is completely diverse. That's why I chose so many people. This people from the age of 21 to the age of 74, okay? And you can, every race, every ancestry you can think of, we have Jewish, we have Indian, we have from Filipino, people from Latin America, people Caucasians. And when I hear their stories and when they write about it or talk about it, for me, I have got what I needed, you know, to see so many women sitting and talking about their fears, them crying, you know, laughing, crying, and just everyone becoming silent to give respect to that. So yes, and to answer the question, they're very different, but in some ways they're very much same. There's some, it's very global in a way of how women experience fear and how they express it and how they want to heal from it. And that's been my lesson, that you can really take these different threads and tie them together in a beautiful bleeding rose. And that's women and their fears. And yet each petal is different, you know. Each petal has a different smell and texture and a region.
Talk about your personal history. I know that you actually started out in a more linear ones and zeros type of occupation. How did you decide to give that up and devote your life to this kind of theater?
To be very frank, I've always been an artist from the moment I was born. You know, what drives me is beauty, love, and romance, and poetry, and, you know, all the things that just touch my heart. But in India, it's really difficult to be a woman and be financially independent as an artist and also follow your dreams, at least when I was growing up, I was born in 1968. So I made a conscious choice of not becoming an artist, and it tore me apart, but going to college as an engineer. And it was also my fuck you to men, because, you know, all our engineering colleges, 99% of people were men. So it was like one out of probably 40 boys in my electrical engineering class. But the good thing was I was very good in science. You know, I love mathematics, so it worked. And then I wanted to see the world. You know, I was very deep into politics. I always have been in arts, doing theater and poetry, and I was a very good speaker in India, so I would be always on stage, you know, having campaigns and starving to change policies of education and things. And then at some point I thought, okay, it's time to see the world and experience life. So I applied to a school here, $4,000 from a bank, and I got on a plane. I've never been on a plane. I've never been out of home. And life has been very good to me. I came here with nothing, no one. I didn't know a single soul. And I always say, for every human being, you should go to a foreign country, because once you have struggled with that, you know you can take anything and everything. But maybe because I wanted to know and understand people, and really wanted to get all the flavors of different cultures, I started building an humongous community where there were geeks and engineers and artists and, you know, activists and politicians. So I did my high-tech career. I became a millionaire. I lost all that money because of some stupid things the CEO did, and did my, you know, whole high tech, making money, becoming a director of marketing and engineering and development till I was 35. And I always knew that at 35, I will quit any kind of technology work and come back to what my heart wants. And that was arts. That was expressing my concerns, the purpose I think I am here for, things I love through the vehicle of beauty, through art. Because I think art touches places in us that nothing else does.
So if there's people who are listening to this or who see the show on the 29th and feel like this is something that they want to be involved in, will there be opportunities for more women to get involved in this Playing with Fear project?
Absolutely. And that's why I'm doing it in phases, because the idea is to have an open call and forum as many people, as many women who want to be involved. So starting August, we are starting the second phase, and which will be inviting people, women, to not locally but even internationally, to submit their work through writing, through video, through audio, any ways they want. Also, there will be a weekly, you know, circle going on in the Bay Area. And I'm also working on films and another theater, kind of, you know, a community collaborative theater in September. So I'm inviting anyone who is listening to this who want to come out and talk about, you know, their fears and what stops them from being their highest self, because you are all your highest self. This life is just about being your highest self. You don't have to do much to be it. You know, but it's these fears and it's these negative things that just holds us back. So let's talk about it. Let's breathe. Let's bring them out of the closet. And there's the power of sharing that with other women and being able to laugh and cry and scream about it and say, hey, yes, I have fears. I have all these weird, you know, things that like freaks me out. But, you know, I can still stand up and dance and speak. And that's what I am doing in every day. You know, I haven't gotten rid of any of them, but I don't want that to stop me. Actually, that makes me who I am today. I'm much more compassionate, much more open, much more understand the range of people's emotions than I ever did before I faced my fears. I thought I was this, you know, stupid brat, and, you know, bullets will glide by me, nothing can happen to me. And I had so much ego and so much, you know, like just arrogance. But this has broken me into this, I find, a much better human being. So, yes, there are many details. You can find all the things on www.sirentheatre, and that is theatre.org. I'm also starting a Kickstarter project because, you know, I have funded all this just from my own money. And I really have stopped working as a marketing and technology consultant because this is where my heart is. This is where my passion is. And I'm going to run out in a month, any ability for me personally to survive, but to take the project forward. So I really need, you know, help financially, because this production costs, rehearsal spaces, you know, just everything costs money these days, just to make the documentary, to put up the blogs. So if you want to donate, there will be a Kickstarter project also that's being launched in 2 days.
So how can people, if people want to donate, how can they find out?
Just go to www.sirentheatre.org and you will find all the information about the project there. And one last thing I want to add, which I didn't add, is the U.S. portion of the project is running this year till September. And then October 1st, I'm going to India. And very similar work I'm going to do face-to-face with women in India from beginning of October till end of December. Because I have, you know, a lot of organizations, because I spent like 3 months in India every year. And I have a school in my village, school for little kids, for Aboriginal tribal women and kids. So with them and with this multiple women's organizations that I work with in Calcutta, this SAFO for Equality, they're a wonderful lesbian organization. And this Fourth Bell, which is this beautiful young youth theater group. So with them, I'm going to run similar workshops, bring out their stories, and have a staged show and tell end of December also.
Playing with Fear will show one day only, and that's Sunday, July 29th at 3 p.m. at Counterpulse Theater, 1310 Mission Street in San Francisco. I've been talking with director Roque Noir. Thanks so much.